Hey, everybody. It's Ears Up In Depth. Myself and Jeremy are here to lull you into sleep, talking about all things Disney news. Disney news.
Yes, that's right.
Hi, Jer.
Hi.
Hi. I'm very, very chuffed about my new audio setup. It has little pads to so I can program for the songs. I don't have to like click the mouse or do anything.
Right.
It like this one in particular, I set to have repeat the song.
Okay.
And
well, how many pads do you have?
Well, I have 2, 4, 6, 8 pads, and then there's a second bay of them too. You can just kind of like, you know, do that. You can double up on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that the kind of thing that like when I do a segment, you would program in the my audio clips, or is it
so.
Too many?
Well, it depends. I mean, I don't want to, redo them all. I don't know. It depends. We'll see how many. We'll see coming up soon. I think right in a couple shows. Next show, no show after. Late.
No, the next show is next week, and it's not that one.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's the end of May, I think.
Okay, we'll find out.
Yeah,
but,
we'll find out.
And not only to. To add, I know how you're thinking already. How can we top this? There's a recorder in the soundboard, so I don't have to look at the task cam and like make sure that it's recording and do whatever. I see it right here. It's recording. It's a big red button.
It's a big red button. Yeah. So you don't have that thing that looks like a taser that needed new batteries every 17 minutes. That's gone now.
That's gone now. Yeah, the taser's gone.
Aww, what a sad thing.
I know. But
I miss that thing.
When you and I go to the park, whenever that happens, I'm bringing it, loading it with batteries, and we're going to get park audio. So it's going to be fun.
So it still exists. You haven't tossed it?
Oh, no. I'm not going to throw it away. That thing was like $100.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever it was. I don't really know.
I don't really like that thing, but that's fine.
I'm going to bronze it and email and mail it to you, okay?
I don't want it. Don't send anything this way.
Jeremy, well, look, man, I'm glad that we're here. I feel good about the show. We have a lot to talk about for sure. Mainly Disneyland opens in a couple days. That's weird. So we're talking about a bunch of other stuff as well. Why don't you go ahead and start us off? Because my first story is kind of long.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know, we were talking about the sun. You know how states have nicknames?
Yeah.
Like New York is the Empire State.
Yep.
California is the
tax state.
That's true, but that's not its official slogan.
The nanny state. Oh, it is the Golden State.
That's right.
Right.
Do you know what New Jersey is?
You know what? Not the Sunshine State. It is the City of Brotherly. No, it's the. No, I don't. I have no idea.
New Jersey is the Garden State.
The Garden State. Darren's favorite movie is called that.
Well, Florida, as it turns out, is the Sunshine State.
Sunshine State, baby.
So it is almost no surprise to learn that last week on Earth Day, Disney announced they'd be expanding their solar power generation at Walt Disney World in sunny Central Florida.
Wow. I'm surprised it took them this long, to be honest.
Well, this isn't the first one. In 2019, the first large solar project at Walt Disney World came online. It's a giant solar farm in the shape of it's a not-so-hidden Mickey, really. It's a huge Mickey Mouse in the shape of solar panels.
Okay.
But this year, Disney is doubling down. Well, I'd say it's more than doubling down on its solar power efforts. Disney World and the Reedy Creek Improvement District are teaming up with local Florida utilities to build two new 75-megawatt solar energy plants at the Walt Disney World Resort, expected to begin providing power to the resort in about 2 years. Once completed, Disney expects that that their three solar power plants will generate as much as 40% of Walt Disney World's electrical power needs, which is pretty significant.
Yeah, that's great. Good for them.
It's wonderful. The new 270-acre facility will be more than twice the size of the Magic Kingdom. But Disney World Resort in Florida is not the only Disney resort with its eyes on the sun. Disney also announced it is adding solar panels to the tops of attraction buildings in the Disneyland parks in both Anaheim and Hong Kong. While over in Paris, work is on target to complete a solar farm there by 2023, with the first phase set to open this summer. This first phase will be comprised of dual-purpose solar panels that will not only convert the sun's energy into electricity, but they'll sit atop a canopy that covers some 1,770 parking spaces, simultaneously shielding them, their cars, and the people who drive them from the elements. Tokyo Disneyland already has solar panels installed in various areas around the resort, enough to fully power, in fact, the sparkling Tokyo Disneyland Electrical Parade Dreamlights. So it's fully solar powered, that parade.
That's kind of cool.
Solar power is nothing new to the Walt Disney World Resort, though. Jason, as far back as 1982, Epcot Center, the Universe of Energy building proudly displayed a roof covered in solar panels and marketed the attraction as allowing its guests to ride on sunshine. The bold vision of the future, predicted in part by the Universe of Energy at Epcot, is now manifesting itself at Disney parks around the globe. So Walt Disney Company is reducing their carbon footprint and embracing the power of the sun.
Right. Well, look, I'm sure the discount on the PG&E bill isn't, you know what I mean, isn't one to be looked at sideways. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, we have Duke Energy here in Florida. We don't have PSE&G.
Okay. Well,
no.
I'm sorry. You can't experience the love that is the ever rising cost of energy out here in California.
Well, I personally do experience it because PSE&G, it powers Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, Jeremy, on this network here, the Ears Up Network, we've complained a bit, air quotes, here and there about how Disney seems to be making changes based on social pressures rather than what's right or inclusive. But that's the role of a talk show, which is this is what we are, to entertain rather than to try and influence people's changes or opinions or whatever, right? We're just trying to be entertaining and have a good time. The good thing about a talk show is that you generally have other opinions to run with, which is why I really like doing the show with you, Jeremy. We express our opinions, and sometimes they match and sometimes they don't, and I appreciate that and I like that.
And having, often they do not.
Yeah, well, look, man, I'm just jealous I don't have a golf ball to ride in. Having a conversation about something you don't understand is far better than making an ass out of yourself across national media, and that's exactly what one Las Vegas man did recently in his op-ed piece for the Orlando Sentinel entitled, "I Love Disney World, But Wokeness is Ruining the Experience." Jonathan Van Boskerik, sounds like a Star Wars villain. Jonathan Van Boskerik penned what I'm sure he thought was a scathing, blistering bit of commentary on how the changes to Disney World specifically are destroying the fabric of imagination itself. I think. I don't really even know if he knew he had a point, other than he had a platform.
He said it's destroying the fabric of imagination. Those are his words.
No. That's he goes on to explain that his imagination is being ruined. So I'm just extrapolating from that trying to be cool at the same time. Jonathan had things to say about many topics, like cast members wearing tattoos or two earrings. Here's his take on that new policy change. Quote, "The problem is I'm not traveling across the country and paying thousands of dollars to watch someone I do not know express themselves. I am there for the immersion and the fantasy, not the reality of a stranger's self-expression. I do not begrudge these people their individuality, and I wish them well in their personal lives, but I do not get to express my individuality at my place of business. What's next? Is Disney going to end the rule barring onstage cell phone use by cast members as an infringement on self-expression? I'm all for immersion, and I've made fun of the decree that these changes were made in the name of cultural expression before many times, but when I do it, it's really, really funny. Or at least with a satirical bent to the thing. JVB here just teed off on the people that make the magic that he's so desperate to hold on to. And really, how many cast members are going to be flashing tattoos or multiple piercings anyway? Apparently, he thought enough for him to plant his flag on this weird soft hill. And he just sounds kind of jealous that he can't express his individuality at his place of business. Well, I don't know, man. Talk to your boss. I mean, what are you going to do, man? Jeez. Moving on to the Jungle Cruise, JVB had a lot to say about that, but here's a couple little pearls of wisdom from him. As far as Trader Sam goes, JVB says, "The next time I ride Jungle Cruise, I will not be thinking about the gloriously entertaining puns of the skippers. I will be thinking about Disney's political agenda. That's a mood killer. A mood killer. This man is so repressed that a ride with fake animals who don't even move in a convincing manner makes him think he's in the jungle. Piranhas on a wheel is reality to him, apparently, whereas people feeling less uncomfortable is a reality killer. On one hand, I can agree with him on a certain level. For the next few months, anytime we talk about the Jungle Cruise here on the show or see it mentioned in quote-unquote news updates, we'll be thinking of the changes and why they were made. But if Disney does anything right, it's integrating changes into the story of any ride so that it's seamless. And after 6 months, it will be like nothing ever happened. Changing the Jungle Cruise for the reasons that they're changing the Jungle Cruise to me seems silly and goofy. But like I've always said, if you're uncomfortable with a display, we should talk about it. What, you know, if changes would make more people feel more comfortable and like that ride more and give the ride a better chance to be more expressive, then that's cool. That's great. I'm not going to cry about it in national media. It just seems too outrageous. He went on to talk about pirates. He says, "Pirates used to be one of my favorite attractions."
Yeah, but sorry, I have to back up. No, you didn't cry about it in national media because you have no access to national media, but you cried about it here.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said,
you have access.
Like I said in the beginning, you know, it's a talk show. I'm supposed, we're supposed to be entertaining. It's not just an op-ed piece that I decided to pen and get published and it got picked up somewhere. You know, it's my job, right? Is to talk about this stuff and express my opinions on it. But I also, you know, I don't think they should be changing the ride. However, if more people think that they should than not, then let's change the ride. That's fine. I don't care that much about it to keep going on about it. I accept the thing. And so I'm just making fun of this guy because he can't accept it.
Well, but I'm confused. You seem to be admonishing him for what you yourself have done on this show recently.
Probably.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we're understanding that.
Oh yeah,
that's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Great.
He says,
as you were.
"Pirates used to be one of my favorite attractions. My family would always ride it first on our first day at the Magic Kingdom. Now we do not even ride it every trip. When my family rides Pirates now, each of the changed scenes takes us out of the illusion because they remind us of reality and the politics that forced changes. People like JVB think politics and inclusion are the same thing. Pirates was changed so that more guests felt comfortable on that ride. Felt included in the story other than just to enforce stereotypes. No, it's not perfect, and the flaws in the logic used by Disney to justify the changes are massive. However, the ride is still basically the same, man. The illusion is still there. Pirates ransacking the village of Puerto Dorado. Simply because the women are now mostly in charge, this man can't adjust his thinking, and that to me is just very, very funny." He closes, and he says a bunch of other stuff, but he closes his rant by pleading with Disney to get back to the values of Walt. That was a direct quote. "Walt's values were family entertainment, not some political agenda. If you start labeling everything as politically motivated, well, then your argument for keeping the ride the same instantly becomes political by default. Again, while some of these changes excite me, and I do think the way Disney announces them is more self-serving than it needs to be, I have the self-awareness to understand that's my problem. And screaming into the void isn't going to change anything. So I can either understand that changes can make people feel better, or I can just choose not to give Disney my money." And call me, JVB. Let's chat. I want to talk to you. I think he needs just to relax a little bit. I mean, yes. And what you said is accurate, Jeremy. And that's why I chose to sort of like comment on it, because I have said the same exact things this guy's saying, but not for the same reasons. I just think I don't know. I don't think they're necessarily needed, but like I said, I have the self-awareness to know that it's not about what I think. I can have my opinion on it, but I'm not going to cry about it and then, just get blasted across the world for it. Like, this guy got just thoroughly destroyed online, and it was very funny.
Right, but okay. Yeah. I just don't see the difference.
That's okay. I mean, that's fine. in my mind, there's a, in my mind, there's a big difference.
To justify it and somehow turn it differently for you.
Well, I mean, that's a good skill to have,
I suppose.
No, I think that, like I said, I share some of the opinions of this man, but not all of them, and not for the same reasons. So to me, that's very different.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, April has been a big month. Are you done? Is that story?
Yeah, no, I'm done. No, yeah, I'm done.
Okay. April has been a big month for NASA, as I'm sure you are aware.
Yeah.
Just last week, NASA, in partnership with Elon Musk's SpaceX, launched the Crew 2 mission of 4 astronauts to the International Space Station aboard Musk's Falcon rocket from Cape Canaveral, just a short distance from here in Orlando. Disney released some pretty cool pictures, actually, of the early morning launch over Tomorrowland, which was kind of cool. Also this month, NASA successfully flew a remote helicopter drone on Mars. So NASA's chalking up some wins, but not all has been bright for NASA this week. For a NASA executive, Andrew Tesna has found himself in some hot water. Tesna pleaded guilty to fraudulently obtaining almost $300,000 in COVID-19 government loans, only to use that money for expenses such as a dog groomer and a membership to the Disney Vacation Club.
Yes.
I'm sure you're wondering where the Disney tie-in was. There it is.
Yeah.
Tesna and his wife are, in fact, owners of 9 Disney Vacation Club contracts.
Oh, representing, my yeah. God. Did yeah. he buy all 9 with that PPE money or PPP money or whatever?
That's unclear. It okay. seems he has owned them since 2011.
Wow. He makes so too much I'm money. Not, sorry.
He makes $170,000 a year. We found that out.
What? I mean, was he living in a trailer park? That's a ton of cash to throw out to DVC club stuff. 9?
Well, perhaps this is not his first attempt at frauding, yeah. defrauding the government.
Yeah, probably not.
You know, I don't know if he was living a stand-up life and then all of a sudden decided, I'm going to go after this PPE.
That's what changed him? That was the moment? That was the Walter White
right,
moment?
Now he's suddenly a bad guy.
All right, good.
These contracts represent 2,376 combined points. Over 2,000 Disney Vacation Club points equates to hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think one point is like over $200 or something. So it's just an insane wow. amount. Tesna applied for 3 separate COVID-19 relief loans along with unemployment benefits for his mother-in-law, who just happens to be retired.
Well, I mean, you don't need, he's not lying.
When you're retired,
she's unemployed.
To support the fraudulent PPP, or PPP is the Paycheck Protection Program, to support his PPP applications, he submitted fabricated IRS tax returns and fraudulently claimed payroll expenses for companies that didn't exist. PPP, in case you weren't sure, is the federal initiative designed to help businesses pay for their employees and meet their basic expenses during the COVID-19 pandemic. Special agent in charge, Mark J. Zielinski, NASA Office of Inspector General, said of the charges, quote, as a NASA senior executive, the agency placed a great deal of trust in Tesna. Taking advantage of the CARES Act to fraudulently obtain PPP loans is not only violated the agency's trust, but the trust of American people that sought assistance for the legitimate needs of their struggling businesses. As I said, Tesna was earning $170,000 as a NASA executive. And in addition to his sentence, which is coming up on July 16th, I think he'll be sentenced. He could face up to 30 years in prison.
Whoa,
for this. Yeah, he likely won't, though.
Yeah.
But he will have to pay back at least $288,000 in restitution for his antics. So Disney Vacation Club getting a boost from the PPP loan indirectly.
Yeah.
Here in Florida.
Contact him. He's probably going to sell some points here soon.
Well, yeah. So he that's another part of the story, and I missed it, which is not so good. But he did sell a bunch of points.
Oh my god! To get money.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so his balance, I think, now is down to, like, if I remember now, this is all, you take this with a grain of salt, but I kind of remember reading that his balance is now like 93 points. So he got quite a bit of money.
Can't do anything there. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
You know what? I think we're looking at this all wrong, Jeremy. And I really want to follow up with him, because what if he's like, his family was being held hostage by Ukrainian gangsters and he had to do this and he just got caught? You know what I mean? Maybe, well, he's a hero.
He could be, but he pleaded guilty. Damn. So if that were the case, I would think he would submit a plea of innocence, but he
true.
Didn't.
Yeah.
He was caught and he gave up.
Well, look, man, I tried. I don't like that his name was Tesna, because it just makes me think you're pronouncing Tesla incorrectly.
No, it is T-E-Z-N-A.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But that's cool, man. I saw you posted some photos on your Insta of the rocket launch that you were just talking about. Looked pretty cool.
I did. I had to get up at 5:30 in the morning to get them.
God.
Because they were delayed a day. They were supposed to go off at like 6:11, and then the mission got scrubbed. And then just because of the alignments, they had to go at 5:49 or something the next day. And I was like, oh, God.
Woof. Yeah,
2 days in a row, I got up real early.
Oh, man, for one day of payoff.
Yeah, but the picture was good. Thanks.
Yeah, I liked it. Well, Jeremy, speaking of changes to the Jungle Cruise, when I heard that things were being moved around and replaced, my immediate thought was, what about Trader Sam? I mean, he has a bar named after him. Surely they aren't going to remove him, right? I mean, and that really was my first thought. Like, I don't really care about the natives or whatever. It's Trader Sam. How is he going to change the bar? And it's really, I guess I should rewrite that paragraph saying, my immediate thought was, the bar. It's named after an animatronic. Finally, my fears have been calmed because Disney has revealed the fate of the jungle's most famous salesman. Instead of selling shrunken heads at the low price of, quote, two for his for one of yours, Sam has taken over a Riverside Lost and Found shack and has rebranded it Trader Sam's Gift Shop. Quote, word on the street is that Alberta Falls, proprietor of the Jungle Navigation Company Limited, has entrusted her longtime friend Trader Sam to manage the new Lost and Found location. Read the description of the new scene at the Disney Parks blog. But with Trader Sam being Trader Sam, there's always an opportunity to make some extra money. After all, the best ride ends with a gift shop, right? For those of you who don't know, Alberta Falls was introduced in the Skipper Canteen over at Disney World a while ago and is just one of the new characters on the Jungle Cruise, providing more of a backstory to the famous ride, as if we needed that. But hey, maybe it'll be cool. Whatever. Now, the art on the Parks blog shows a small shack at the end of the ride with odds and ends of things you might expect to find off a place like the Jungle Cruise. You got skipper hats, you got a record player, some boxer shorts for whatever reason, the propeller of a boat, a bunch of rope, an anchor. You get the idea. But what is missing is Sam himself. Now, the blog says he's out gathering new inventory, but I'm going to assume they're just reskinning him, retheming him for the shop, and that he'll be back in place as soon as possible. I can't imagine a gift shop run by Trader Sam, but run by Trader Sam, not including Trader Sam, right? It just that can't happen.
No, I don't think he's coming back, because isn't it that the animals have taken over the shop now?
You're right. And so there's like a little baby elephant, and there's a bunch of like little monkeys, like howler monkeys or whatever there. But from the way I read it, it's like he'll be back soon, but in the meantime, the animals are here. I don't know. Oh. Do you really think they just remove them? I mean, they're removing all of like the natives everywhere from the ride, I guess.
Right. It seems that way.
Which doesn't seem very inclusive to me.
You feel the pygmies will feel left out.
Yes, I really do. I really do.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say about the pygmies, but yeah, I don't know. The way I read it, and again, I could be completely wrong. I took it as, this is a person we no longer see, and he's gone trying to find some more things to sell. And in the meantime, the animals have gone crazy, and that's the joke.
Huh, okay.
But maybe it's a temporary joke while they refurb that
the animatronic. Guy. Yeah. Well, if assuming Sam is coming back, I'm fine with this change. I mean, sure, I love the idea of headhunters, shrunken heads, and all that sort of cool stuff, which is all based in truth. It's reality. It happened and probably still does. But if you are changing the ride to be more centered on the humor, air quote humor, then keeping Sam around to be the manager of this hut it's good enough. However, I think Disney can just as easily get into trouble with this storyline. I mean, once you start changing things, it can be a slippery slope, right? Like, why does a native need an outsider to give him a job? And why did they make the native steal the lost and found and turn it into a gift shop to sell what are essentially stolen goods, right? I mean, they're not his stuff. He's just selling them. But that's reading too much into things for sure. I mean, we can never get there, can we? I have no idea what that means, so don't worry about it. I'm just reading stuff into things just to have a good time. But, you know, it's like I said, when you start changing stuff, you do sort of get into that, like, I'm surprised at this storyline because if you overanalyze it enough, it can be just as problematic, if not even more so, than the previous thing. But anyway, that's what's happening. The Jungle Cruise with Trader Sam. Hopefully he comes back. Yeah.
Yeah. What will he look like? I think it wasn't a particularly flattering depiction.
No. I mean, he
but was, I don't know who it was depicting.
He's just a person. I don't know. He had a big fat belly.
He had a big fat belly.
And like, didn't he have a top hat or something?
Maybe. I can't even, barely picture him. I just picture like a big smile and a big belly.
Yeah.
I don't really remember his apparel.
No.
Very much.
I don't either. I got one more short one that I just think is really funny. All right, Jeremy, are you in the mood for that? Are you done? You're done. Right?
What?
Are you done?
I don't have any more stories.
Okay, good.
No.
All right. Well, and of course, Jeremy, Disneyland opens this Friday, officially on Friday. It's open now for like cast member previews and stuff like that, which is funny because they sort of have been working there for like a month. They've been like riding rides and testing stuff out this whole like month. But anyway,
This week you got Mice Chats in there and all these there's bloggers are in there this week.
Oh God.
Man. I don't know. Apparently it's bloggers. Like, how did that happen? Like,
I know, right? It's probably media or they just, they have people on staff that are cast members.
Maybe,
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it officially opens on Friday, though, to the masses, to the unwashed but vaccinated and masked up masses. And if you've been listening to this show through the lockdown, you're probably very tired of hearing me complain about how lacking Orange County has been in helping to control COVID outbreaks. Things are opening up, and that's mainly due to residents getting vaccinated and not really the county being very effective. To prove a point, here's a clip that I found online today. It's very, very funny to me. It's only 37 seconds.
It's only at the patient's request.
That's correct.
Does it? Is there any intention of tracking folks?
Nope.
Is there any in the vaccine? We heard about an injection of a tracking device. Is that being done anywhere in Orange County?
I'm sorry. I just have to compose myself. There's not a vaccine with a tracking device embedded in it that I know of exists in the world.
he's on the Orange County board or whatever, legitimately asking an epidemiologist if the vaccine has a tracking device in it. And that's very, very funny to me and just sort of representative of like, you know, how far, especially California has come in battling back COVID and getting open and, you know, just this is why the U.S. sort of has a problem is because this guy is actually literally asking if there's a tracking device in it. And the guy laughs at the thought of like, no, man, it's literally impossible.
Right. Well, how would it go through a needle? That needle is so tiny.
That's like, right. Someone like this is on Twitter. So someone later in the comments is like, if they could make a tracking device that small fit through the head of a needle and connect to satellites and to pinpoint your position, they don't need a pandemic to tag you. They can just tag you like in drinking water or whatever, right? Like,
right.
You don't need a vaccine excuse to do it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's like he posts from his iPhone and it's just these are the funny things. And I don't know. Apparently I'm poking fun at people today.
Yeah. It's a little weird. paranoid to think
that it really is. Yeah,
going to be tracked.
Well, and it's funny because he's, you know, we've come a long way in this country where we're just like saying, "I'm just asking" is an excuse to not use your brain. And this is an elected official not using his brain. Yeah. But look, at least he's asking. Let's put it at least he's asking the question and not saying no. You know what I mean? Because right. I don't want to be tracked. At least he's asking the question. So there's that. Yeah. I guess.
I don't know. I feel like there's so many other reasons to – like I think there are legitimate reasons to be cautious about a brand new vaccine that
sure.
is still not approved by yeah. the FDA, right? Like right. we should – it's probably worth asking some questions and scrutinizing it and making sure it's as safe as possible.
Yeah.
I just don't think that is it's along the lines of reasonable scrutiny of this new vaccine.
Right. I mean, when you learn about it, it's like the base of the vaccine is like 20 years old because it was developed for SARS and then it didn't go anywhere because SARS sort of went away. And so it's like, you know, I felt way more comfortable about it. But you're absolutely right. It's like, what is this? I don't know. It's weird. So it's cool to ask, but it's also it's weirder to just assume and then, you know, tell people that it's bad. You know what I mean? But speaking of good stuff, Jeremy. Mm-hmm.
Moon Boots IPA is the latest 21st Amendment beer release. A West Coast IPA brewed with strawberries and loaded with Azaka, Citra Cryo, and Mosaic hops. Moon Boots IPA was designed and brewed by an all-woman team at 21st Amendment Brewery and in partnership with the Pink Boots Society, advocating for the advancement of women in the beverage industry. The label for Moon Boots IPA features the beer's creators envisioned as otherworldly beings and was commissioned by renowned Los Angeles-based animation artist Robin Eisenberg. Moon Boots IPA is a very limited release and available across the country at your favorite good beer shop, where 21st Amendment beer is sold.
There you go. Look at that. I did it.
Great. Great read through.
Thanks, man.
I didn't think it was your voice at first.
Oh, really?
At first, I was like, who did he get to do this? I can't tell.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go with him.
Did you feel bad that I didn't give you the copy?
I feel bad.
Yeah. That I didn't ask you to do it for me?
No, I'm done doing it. I told you. I said this shtick is done.
Oh, okay.
It was fun. I had fun, but that's it.
All right. Well, look, I apologize.
It was just a joke for one or two times.
It was just a joke. All right, Jeremy. Well, look, man, I think that's it. I think we're done. We're about to get out of here. What do you think?
Great. Disney news for another 2 weeks.
It's done. We did it. We officially have done it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you about my brand new t-shirt that I put in the store an hour ago.
Okay. Wow. This is extremely new.
It's extremely new news. New news. Let me see if I can find it. And I will hold it up to the chat camera, and then you can see exactly what it is. Our close personal friend, Matt Tedish, just did it for me.
Well, he's a very talented artist, I find. What does it say?
It says Fantasyland. It's the Tomorrowland.
In the Tomorrowland font.
In the Tomorrowland sign. It says Fantasyland.
Wow.
So you can get that right now at our Etsy shop. Support the show that way. I've also made it into a mask, so you can do that as well. I'm also thinking about glow-in-the-dark stickers of this, which I think would be cool, which is Matt's idea, so shouts out to Matt. So check it out.
God, he's so prolific.
Yeah. We're also working on, and I can tell you guys this, we're officially working on new Mai Tai glasses for, like, summertime. They're not going to be seasonal. You know, we're working on some stuff.
Good.
We'll see how it goes. Good. I love stuff. It's great. Good, great, good. All right, Jeremy. I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for doing your stories and,
sure.
You know, for calling me, what's the word? A jerk? Not a jerk. Two-faced. Hypocritical.
Well, I just thought it was a little inconsistent is all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to do.
All right, good. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, chat. Appreciate you guys for hanging out. We got next week, we're on the 6th, we're doing a show where we rate all of the Disney restaurants. I don't know why. That's just one of the things people picked, and we said, okay, let's do it. But on that show, we're going to bring our good, close, personal friend, Mr. Tom Amin, back on the show to talk about his latest Disney album. So we'll chat about that. I do have a couple extra questions left over from his show that I didn't get to earlier. Tom was just sitting with the Bantha Milk Boys. So if you want to hear more Tom talk specifically Star Wars stuff, check out the Bantha Milk podcast. You can get it directly from our webpage or just look up, you know, Bantha Milk and you'll find it or whatever. I was listening to a lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. It was cool. They did a good job and Tom seemed to have a good time. I was a little nervous. I was like, okay, these guys are nerds. So just watch out. But apparently Nick has like a PhD in music. So I knew they would get along and everything is everything was kosh. So
sure.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you.